It was a woman, face pressed to the window, and in the brief moment that I met her gaze, I was sure that behind it was the cold regard of a machine. The charges blew, a sharp explosion that made the cabinets jolt at my back and hurled a shockwave of heat and debris down the room. Smoke and dust filled the air, and I coughed as I stood and went to examine my handiwork, torch in hand. Weak flames had taken hold on the far wall, burning the fabric covering, and the surrounding console was buckled and smoking. The coupling conduit had been reduced to glowing melted stubs, and when I paused to listen, I realized that all the faint sounds of machinery had ceased. I repacked the equipment bags, climbed into the ventilation duct, and pulled them up after me. It took me another 20 minutes or so before I was finally sitting up on the hyperdrive housing being warmed by sunlight. I rested for a few minutes before descending to the ground and hurrying forward to the main base. There I found a wounded Olsen standing over the bodies of McAllister, Kokorin, and Mosaev, and several others I saw were cyborged crew members, now lifeless. "I succeeded," I told Olsen. "It's dead." Olsen nodded wearily and proceeded to explain how they had walked into a trap, triggering explosives which brought a deck and bulkheads down on them. They had kept fighting while trying to free their trapped companions, but it was nearly impossible. McAllister and Mosaev had been killed outright, while Kokorin was clubbed and hacked to death. The desperate holding action had ended when my thermite charges severed the generator core from the rest of the ship and the command AI. Cut off from that diabolical intelligence, the cyborged crew had stopped fighting, dropping whatever weapons they had, and had started groaning or screaming. Even as I stood outside listening to the captain, I could hear sharp cries and animal-like shrieks of agony coming from inside the ship. Olsen said that the AI cyborgization process must have included some method of stimulating endorphin production to suppress or numb the pains of those freakish surgical adaptations. It was that pain, raw and unfiltered, which was now tormenting them. A couple had already died, cardiac arrests brought on by shock and seizures. Yet, that was not the worst of it. The isolation of the generator core had initiated a ship-wide lockdown of all pressure doors, at least those not damaged by the landing or the ambush explosion. This had resulted in large areas of the ship being sealed off and made inaccessible since all manual overrides had been destroyed. It also meant that a number of the cyborged crew members are trapped in the sealed-off areas. When I went into the Hyperion with McBain to stretch out one of the incapacitated ones, I could hear muffled screams and howls from the locked-down decks. The rest of that day and the next was devoted to burying the dead and taking the wounded back to the cave. The following morning, Strogolov went with me back to the vent shaft and down to the power coupling to retrieve poor Ferguson's body and those of the AI's victims. Tying them up in plastic sheeting, we dragged them through the ducts and back outside, adding them to the row of the dead. And now,